month of Christmas past. December 25th has come and gone. It is now the 26th. And that's why we're bringing you in with the music of the new year. Before you know it, we'll be plunging into 2014, such a critical, central year for not just our society, but the entire planet. Now, we'll be back tomorrow night with a new original, you know, pushed out live to everybody, InfoWars Nightly News. And I think we're going to have David Knight doing next, next show tomorrow.
He'll do Monday.
Oh, he'll be doing. So I'm not sure who's doing tomorrow night's show. Maybe it's going to be me. Maybe I've been drafted in. Again, we're teleprompter free news here, ladies and gentlemen. But here is our interview with Smashing Pumpkins founder and lead singer Billy Corrigan. Just what an amazing patriot and free thinker. Well, a year ago, he visited us in this very same studio, and it's one of the most popular interviews we've ever done with viewers of InfoWars Nightly News and everybody on the radio show and out in YouTube world. With more than 30 million records sold, he is one of the biggest rock stars in history. He founded the Smashing Pumpkins, which I've been a big fan of for years, since high school, really, or I guess college. But the real reason I'm a fan is he is an amazing thinker and gets me to think. As dumb as I am, that's hard to do. Billy Corrigan of Smashing Pumpkins, here in town, to play in Austin, Texas to a sold out crowd. Good to have you here, my friend.
Thank you, Alex. What we're seeing right now is a turf war, right? A turf war between, old Republicans, you know, the Rush Limbaugh, what they call the old white men crowd. You know, as they're struggling for definition in a rapidly changing America, then you have the coming immigrant classes, which way they're going to go. Social liberals who are willing to look the other way, why we're doing, you know, these terrible things around the world with drones. I mean, suddenly now those things aren't big issues to social liberals, which is
black sites, torture.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable to me that these are not mainstream issues on the front pages every day when our government is openly acknowledging in many ways.
Warrantless wiretapping.
Just the fact that we're being spied on blows my mind.
They came out in Reuters and said, yeah, the Pentagon, everybody reads your bank account every day. I mean, totally illegal. Nixon was going to go to jail for it. And now it's just like big deal.
Right. So my point is, so you see a turf war, right? So here's this dividing line. Okay, let's say free thinkers like you and I are over here and we're in our little huddled mass. And then this crowd over here wants to control everything. And let's call it the uninformed in the middle. Well, this turf war is going on. It's like a football game where nobody can really score a touchdown, right? They haven't stamped people like you and me out. And certainly we're not going to stamp them out anytime soon. So it's back and forth. But if something happens where there's this open moment where suddenly 10, 20 million people are suddenly searching for new information because something gets exposed, you know what I mean? I think you have to be able to step into that void with a message that's greater than fear or greater than the counter response to the fear. Cause look, and you and I have talked in private besides publicly, and you know, as I said when I sat at this in the same spot before, even if you're right, it's so hard for your average American to believe it's true. Do you know what I mean? So there's a sort of a transitional moment. It's like in the Matrix when they realize they're in the Matrix. There's sort of a moment like, how is this even possible? Or when they talk about people get out of jail and they just want to go back to jail.
Well, it's like the reality's so bad the guy goes, I want back in the Matrix.
That's my point. I know people, and I'm sure many of your listeners have these conversations around dinner tables where, you know, you reel off a list of facts. Did you realize this? And they go, I just don't want to know. I mean, they're raising.
And it's because they have a legitimate point. The power structure seized. What do you do about it anyways? But then if you give in, that just greases the skid.
But my point is those people that sit around those dinner tables that admit to their son or their daughter or their uncle, hey, you got a point. I know things are weird and government, but I'm not going to do it. But there will come a point where it's going to touch them in a way where they're going to have to do something.
Well, I'll expand on that. I'm now hearing mainline talk radio. When Mohammad Karzai came out and said that the U.S. government runs Taliban al-Qaeda, which is well known, I heard all these hosts now going, you know, our government isn't even our government. It's interests that just want wars. Because they're like, they run them in Libya. They run them in Syria. Karzai says they run al-Qaeda, Taliban, and And then I heard the local host and I heard others go, you know, they do grow the opium over there. They're shipping. Why do we have a war on drugs? It's like, listen, I don't want to be over positive, but if people just get the word out, say, like put your body against the machine, realize that these things are going on, I don't think it can move forward without our consent. And it's not even.
But see, that's exactly my point, right? As with any, let's be cold. It's a game, right? This is a big game. And who gets to win and who gets to control how the pieces move about the board? Okay. There is going to come a point.
They may knock the whole board off.
Well, that may happen. But that would only happen if they're willing to admit that people like you are right. Right?
That'll be a double down. That'll totally legitimize.
Like double down, right? Right. But the point is, let's say there's something cataclysmic, worthy of knocking all the pieces off the board, worthy of shutting down the internet, worthy of silencing any dissident voices, even ones that would be considered mild dissident voices, like has happened in other historical moments of tyranny, right? And every time it was the same justification, we're doing this for the motherland or the fatherland or the excuse will exist. It's what the populace does in that moment that will determine whether it's going to be 50 more years worse or it's going to have to go through the incredibly difficult kvetching of reality. If we've been in an imperial system all along, which there is evidence to suggest that we've been in an imperial system all along, well, we're going to have to be accountable. Every person's going to have to be accountable on some emotional.
No, I agree, and there's going to be a price. But the price is too big to keep going. What you just said, if they do push it to that, I think all the fake liberals, all the fake conservatives, what's happening is they've denied, denied, denied. And when you deny so long, you get to where you'll deny anything just to say you were right. But then it becomes so, what was the word you used? Absurdist. Yeah. Before we went on air. It becomes so absurdist that it becomes a joke. And I think that's what's happening in the past. It was like Robert Gibbs 3 weeks ago on TV. You know, he came out and said,
he said that they told him there's no such thing as drones. And this is a guy who's supposed to go out there and put his entire credibility on the line. I mean, think of him as a human being.
And he said it's Wizard of Oz. This is an admitted program.
I'm saying, let's look at it from a slightly spiritual perspective. I mean, Robert Gibbs is a real human being, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure he's got a family.
Smart guy.
Okay. He's obviously made his way up through the ranks. He probably worked, you know, crap jobs. So there he is. You're the PR guy for the president. I mean, if you're a PR guy, I mean, that's the job. You're the number one guy in America. You've got the best job.
When it comes to media.
And then they tell you and they send out there and just basically lie. I mean, this guy's got to put his entire credibility, his entire career on the line and lie about something.
And then why would he come out now and say it? I'm seeing more and more of that.
Because it's like any other regime. He's thinking, I don't want to go down with this ship. You're seeing now there was another insider, can't remember what it was about recently, where another guy he wrote a book.
But see, I think that Gibbs moment was like my Piers Morgan moment. More and more people are going, I'm not going to play along anymore.
But the question is, the question, if we're talking about it coldly like a game, right? The question is, does anybody care? If the tree falls in the forest.
So the spiritual issue is people better start caring again.
But that's my point to you is, you can win all day long on the facts. Okay? I once sat here and said, even if everything you say is wrong, I like the argument. Now let me reverse it. Even if everything you say is right, there is a segment of the people in this country particularly, and in this world, that we need to get on board. We're not going to get them on board with fear. We're not going to get them on board with facts. We have to touch some other part.
Exactly. What do I do?
I'm saying I think you have to diversify your message into a broader thing that's sort of unassailable.
Okay, let's use the Star Wars analogy. The Death Star is orbiting the moon. Star Wars, you know, Episode 4, it's about to shoot the moon. And that's right when they blow it up. It's kind of that moment when both line up.
That's
the stars are aligning. It's going to be in that fulcrum point.
Either the dark side's going to win, and set you back
a
thousand years, or you're gonna go in. I mean, because just because you stop that Death Star doesn't mean you can stop the next one and the next one and the next one.
Yeah. So
in that case, it's a lone victory against a still larger force.
Yeah. So we're entering this prime jump point zone, this crossroads. In closing, best interview I think I've ever done here. This is amazing. And I don't even just say, this is a powerful, You said we need to have a spiritual talk. I think this has been a transcendent talk. I want you to look at that camera out there and just right out there in the last 5 minutes and just, you've got the floor. Other points you think are important, because you've definitely taken me a long way into understanding. You said, Alex, you need to hit that next level. And you're like, I don't know exactly what it is, but we all need to hit that next level to beat this, that Martin Luther King, Gandhi, or what Jesus talked about that moment. So what in your gut, your spirit right now, what do we do then? I'm talking to the people, because you're right. If they don't want this freedom, if they don't want to be free, if they want to be slaves, then we're going down.
That's what I'm saying.
So what do we say to them?
I think you have to find look. Just because I wrote one good song doesn't mean people are going to listen to the next one or the next one or the next one. It's the collective message that I've been able to create that's allowed me to have a wonderful musical life. Because I've been able to create sort of a broader message that has an appeal to lots of different people for lots of different reasons. I think you've been at the tip of the spear for a long time. Personally, on some level, that's worn you down, because you are literally shouting against a mountain every day. If you can draw from a deeper well of sources that go back thousands of years.
So I need to climb another mountain.
That's what I'm saying. You go read or bring in somebody who's an expert in people who have a deeper understanding, that bring in the historical and spiritual perspectives, because we're not the first people that have faced this. Yes, we're the first people that have ever faced this in this way, with technology being at the core, the immediacy of communication. But you can't tell me 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, people weren't facing the same paradigm.
Well, they were facing the Roman army that was like, you know, super high tech compared to them.
Tell me that was any different. Tell me
natives facing people with guns. Yeah,
right. I'm saying how were those things overcome?
You said you're reading a book right now about the African slave trade. I've read those too. It's amazing.
I mean, yeah, it's I think the man's name was Barth. He traveled in Islamist Africa in the 1850s. He was a German guy, but somehow he got a British commission. And you know, obviously the British were sending him down there to see how reasonable would be to go and
intel
plunder, exactly,
scoping,
but he was a scientist, and he rationalized going, but he witnessed, you know, what was an awful slave trade. And he said that in his notes, he said that the African slave trade on other African tribes was shocking him. He thought it was simply sort of an imperialistic type of thing, you know, slave, and they realized that the slave trade was going on. Why were Africans enslaving other tribes? Because it was, you know, your big tank against my big tank. It's just a different paradigm. My point is this.
It's like local cops. This system's destroying their kids' future, but they'll still be mercenaries and do it.
But look, I would take anybody at any system. I once went out with a woman who grew up in the Soviet system, emigrated in the 80s, lived there until she was 11 years old. She said her parents would tell her, don't talk too loud about the government, because the neighbors will report us. I mean, imagine growing up in a society like that. Well, you know what? Now we actually have to think about it.
No, they have people report us all the time. We have FBI showing up all the time. And I mean, I can't hand magazines out. When I was on the trip in closing down in Galveston, taking a few days off with the kids down there at the beach, and Max Cabrera with the street team, you know, local crew we hired, I already talked about this, that's been doing this for years, never had it happen. He goes, yeah, they said we can't have bumper stickers on the car. And I go, you mean parked in a parking space? He goes, yeah. They said, well, they're going to arrest us for that. If we, you'll give us a ticket, we don't leave. And we can't have a magazine. I said, this is a joke, right? And he goes, no. Even I thought it was a joke. And then, because that'd be national news if it happened in, you know, Russia or something today. And then I said, next time the cops come up, call me. So he calls me. They're there with the code enforcer. And the guy goes, no, I'm a listener. I don't like doing this, but my boss told me I'm going to do this. You need to take the stickers off, or we're going to give you tickets. And if you don't go, then they're arrested.
Let's look at it from a different perspective. The guy that's standing there, right? I'm a listener. I know this is stupid, but this guy up here told me I better do it. I meet TSA agents who are frisking me down, who are embarrassed to be frisking me down, because they know my music and they know me, and you know, they know
I'm not a terrorist.
Right. And they're embarrassed. Why are good-hearted Americans willing to follow orders? Do you know what I mean? You know, why in other tyrannical regimes were those people willing to follow orders? I think you have to address those questions. And I don't think you can address them on the veracity of the fact, which is it's dumb. Okay, most people, if you sat them down at a table and explained the story, they'd say that's dumb. Okay, but this kind of dumb stuff's going on every day. Kids being expelled, you know, some kid said to another kid 5 years old, something about shooting him. I mean, I grew up playing Cowboys and Indians. It doesn't mean I...
If a donut looks like a gun, they're kicked out. What about the bubble gun girl?
Right. What I'm saying is I think you have to start getting into the mind of, and I hear you say it, and I think it's a powerful message when you say, hey, you know, you out there who think, you know, you're going to get away with this and they're not going to come looking for you at some point, you know, don't be fooled, right? But I think you have to get into the heart of mind of what their motivation is. You know, in wrestling,
they know that, but they're in the minute, they're scared.
What they say in wrestling, right? The bad guy has to believe in what he's doing. So even the bad guy believes in what he's doing. You know, he's been propagandized. I'm beating this kid down for America, or, you know, whatever they're thinking. You understand?
I'm dropping this drone on a whole wedding party to get one guy. Collateral damage.
I'm killing a terrorist. I would like you to see you broaden the message and bring in people who can speak to this kind of, whether it's a historian. I mean, maybe once a week it could be a special feature. A historian. Bring in people from the Catholic Church. Bring in Buddhists. Bring in Native American elders. Ask, how do you guys view this? Or girls? Maybe your message, and maybe the message of other enlightened thinkers, really only reaches people who have enough educational background or cognitive background to recognize that it's a good argument, right? A lot of people are raised on junk food and Gilligan's Island and probably don't have the, I'm not saying they're stupid, but they don't have the intellectual capacity because they've never been in that situation to have to think like that. A lot of lower classes, which I come from in my family background, they're predicated on survival, right? Some of the way the election was, this last election was waged? It's survival. Hey, if I vote for this guy, I got a better chance of surviving than if I go vote for this.
And then he raises payroll taxes on poor people.
It's too late now, right? But I'm saying is, my point is you gotta explain to somebody who doesn't necessarily think like you. I think you diversify the import of the message so that it resonates at a higher level, right? Most people believe in what America means, even though there's plenty of evidence to suggest we've killed and maimed plenty, right? There are people out there, veterans, who really struggle with why they went here. You know, I know one kid who struggles with why he went over to Iraq.
And the power structure knows that. They get them when they're 18, knowing later they're going to wake up, but by then they're now listed as the terrorist. What do you think about them saying veterans are the number one terror threat?
It's interesting from this perspective. Look, you know, you watch the, you know, basketball game, and there's the commercial for the, you know, whatever, the Air Force, and it's like a video game, you know, drones and, you know, it looks like, I literally think it's a video game commercial until I realize it's for the Air Force or something.
They're blurring it.
Right. But they're bringing these people in, believing a set of ideals, which is consistent with, you know, American, greatness or something.
And freedom.
Right. Okay. So let's say you believe it and nothing I say or you say would change their mind. America's the best and I did this for a reason. I serve my country. Well, now we have a lot of evidence to suggest that they're not being supported when they come home, the Veterans Administrations, all this kind of stuff, right? And even like them not allowing them to show the coffins when they come back, all that kind of stuff, right? Why are they flipping that narrative? Because that's a pretty big flip from you're a hero, you know, applaud the troops, to you can't even hold a – now we don't trust you with a gun.
Wow.
Or I saw that clip where the city councilman objected because there was a guy who was a veteran, had a right to carry. And he got, did you see that clip?
Yes.
And he got up and left because he said, I don't want to be in here. And the guy was not breaking the law. He's a veteran. You know what I mean?
They want to send him to foreign countries to kill people, but now when they have that right to defend themselves and have a Second Amendment here, they don't even want to be around it. It's like,
but again,
the technocrats want to send him to kill, but now they're scared of him.
I'm just using this as a point to illustrate what I'm talking about. What's the higher perspective on that? Why do we sell somebody so hard as a hero, and then what propaganda do we need to use to believe that they're dangerous?
It's like spiking a cannon after a war. They're decommissioning a weapon.
Right, but why do they need to do it that way? That's why I'm saying I watch that trend.
Yeah, why are they? Because it's waking people up. I think the establishment has been very smart and professional in the past, but I think they've been smoking their own dope. I mean, more and more, because I always heard the argument that, you know, the elite are crazy, and I'm like, oh, no, you know, they've got it all together. Why do you think they're doing it?
That's a really good question. I think that's a very real question. I think the speed of information, even to the, let's say you're in American intelligence and you're actually sitting at the top of the data heap and you can see where it's going. And you're talking to the guy who's predicting what it's going to be like in 20 or 30 years. I think even if you're that guy or that woman, you're sitting on top of that data heap, I think the speed at which this is moving is probably almost beyond human conception.
It was almost a year ago that we did this groundbreaking interview with Billy. I've interviewed him several times and met him before. He's a regular listener. But I was talking to him just a few months ago, and he said he was ready to come on. I just never got it done. But he knows how that is. He's busy. So you're going to get this in the new year. I'm going to call Billy Corrigan and try to get him back on the radio or TV with us. But it's always good to go into the vault and re-air some of these amazing interviews. That is it for this special edition of InfoWars Nightly News, December 26, 2013. Great job to the crew that came in to run the show and get it out for you on the day after Christmas. And we will be back on the radio tomorrow, live, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's David Knight that is doing the radio show tomorrow, but I will also be calling in. And you know me, I'll probably show up and take over and be running in the studio over and over again. And then I'll be back Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. myself doing the show. And then, of course, in the new year, we're going to be in the new studio. So look for all of that and more. And I want to thank all of you for being members of PrisonPlanet.tv. If you're watching this later on online, we encourage that. But it's subscribers that see it first and see it live and see it when it's original and get to see all the films, everything else. 18 years of material, 11 years is how long PrisonPlanet.tv has been here. And we couldn't have done it without all you out there that are supporters. And remember, a membership to PrisonPlanet.tv is really 11 memberships. It's $5.95 a month. We're still running the Christmas special into New Year's where you can get 5-plus months. It's like 5.3 months free off the monthly cost when you sign up for a year and you get 11 memberships or sign up for a month, a trial membership, and you've got 11 memberships right there and can spread the truth with friends and family. So, again, thank all of you that are subscribers. And if you are not a subscriber and you're watching us on YouTube or other places, we need your support be able to do things like this and to have all the other folks like Ben Swan to support his media operation and Ron Paul and support his burgeoning media operation that's doing a great job. And Amber Lyon, who we had on last week about her book and everything, and how she was censored at CNN. We are a platform for you, for us, for all of us, together to move forward. We're not in competition with the liberty movement, liberal or conservative or libertarian. We're in competition with tyrants to bring them down. That is our goal, that is our mission, that is the treasure we seek. And as Julius Caesar said, at least he was rumored to have said it in history, and he said these words via Shakespeare, who put it in a play, William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, there is a tide in the affairs of men, when taken at the flood leads on to fortune. And the fortune we seek is liberty in our lifetime, a better world, not a darker, more corrupt world, a world where our children can live in peace together, A world in which we're not judged by the color of our skin, but by the conduct of our lives and by our deeds, to paraphrase Martin Luther King. A world in which we govern by free will and by free association, not by the boot stomping on the face forever, as George Orwell wrote. So I salute the crew and all of you on this day after Christmas, and we'll see you back tomorrow night with breaking new information. And I'm sure a lot's happening. They always do stuff over Christmas. So tomorrow night, a new original transmission here with InfoWars and Nightly News. And if you're not a subscriber, get over to PrisonPlanet.tv and become one today. My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with nascent iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of nascent iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality nascent iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.